Hey, Unnecessary Roughness listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
The kids are playing their tail off and the coaches are screwing it up.
And they run through our ass like shit through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
We failed to make our coaching points and our points more compelling than their fat little girlfriends.
Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
Hi. Welcome to Unnecessary Roughness, Barstool's college football podcast, and we are going to put on a brave face today. We're going to smile. We're going to get through it. We're going to be okay. We're not going to worry about what might happen to the playoff too. We're just going to go about our business because this is Unnecessary Roughness brought to you.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
I'm not happy. I'm not on this whole let's put on a happy face fucking phase. I'm not doing it.
I would like to do that. I'm going to do that.
Well, I'm going to try my hardest.
Yeah.
For those that are listening, we literally got an email like 10 minutes ago about all this shit with the Arizona Bowl. So it's not the best. It's not the best of times around here.
No, it's not. It is. It sucks. It sucks because me and Katie actually are on a 6 a.m. flight to Tucson in the morning. I don't know. You're coming tomorrow night. You were supposed to be coming tomorrow night. We still don't know if we're not going. We know right now that Boise State has pulled out of the Arizona Bowl. So now we have Central Michigan just sitting out there. They're in Tucson chilling. They might be going to the Sun Bowl to play somebody else. Or we're trying to find a replacement for Boise State. We're trying to figure it out right now. It's all in motion. But it looks like the possibility of not having their Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl is high.
I don't even know how it works with like the – because, you know, I know A&M obviously pulled out of the Gator Bowl earlier this week, which sucked, and then all of a sudden Rutgers slid in. I don't know how it works per se, but I know that it's obviously – I mean, we're talking 4 days away from the game itself. But, like, wouldn't there be plenty of teams who'd be like, yeah, sure, we'll come? Is that not how it works?
No, it – there's a lot of layers to this, right? There's a lot of layers to this. Number one is cases are skyrocketing. And for whatever reason, these leagues decided when cases back in 2020, when cases meant one thing, we had to enact these protocols so we could protect people. And now, even though the sickness is much more mild, we're still going by the same protocol. So that's one thing. We're fighting against these protocols that were built against something else. We're also dealing with college teams who are, listen, if they're not in the playoff, these bowl games, they don't hold the same significance they used to hold. So I don't know if there's this urgency to play these games like there once were. Yes, Jack, are you raising your hand or scratching your nose?
I was raising my hand. I also scratched my nose. Also, I mean, nothing against our bowl game, but like Rutgers is much more interested in gathering the troops for a game they're going to get paid $5 million for. When the Arizona Bowl pays out $350,000. So, I mean, there's a lot of aspects there. That's why CMU will potentially leave because the Sun Bowl pays out around $4.5 million. So, like, there is reasons to play the games, but it's tough because, I mean, like, if you're a 5-7 team, you sent all your players home, and they are home on Christmas break, and, like, they're coming back in January and getting ready for the next season. Then let's say you bring them all back. The reason we saw, like, Boise State, all their players went home for Christmas. They came back and started testing positive for COVID. If you get two teams, then it's going to be tough. There's probably a chance they'll have COVID too, just based upon like what we're seeing. So it's like, we're in really dire straits just based upon just like, it would be great if there was just 5-7 teams just waiting to play, but I don't know.
Well, you know, knowing what we know now, I feel like there should have been just 5-7 teams sitting there saying, you know what, let's not break. We could get this opportunity at a moment's notice. It happened early enough for Rutgers where they hadn't broken for Christmas yet, right? So it happened early enough they could go. I mean, they got lucky, and they get a good bowl. They got a better bowl than my team. Hell, they got a – well, I was going to say they got a better bowl than your team, Casey, but they actually got your team's bowl. But
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I don't know, man. It sucks. Like, these games don't matter, but they matter so much. Why aren't we going to live our lives anymore? It's been 2 years. I'm probably going to say things on this that might get me canceled. I don't really care. Why are we still running from this virus like it's 2020? We had so much unknown then, but now this should be viewed as a good thing that we now have a variant that is very, very mild. It's not doing the same things the earlier ones did. And we're vaxxed at like 80, 90%. We're equipped to handle this, and we're still acting like we're not. And I don't understand why we're shutting down American life again like this.
Well, I mean, Brandon, it's the same thing we've been saying from the beginning. And like, we're not, you know, a political podcast, but like, I posted that I couldn't go home for Christmas because I was dealing with the Omicron or whatever the fuck you call it. And I just did it because it was safe for my family. The amount of people coming through like, oh, you libtard, oh, you this, see what you got vaxxed. I'm like, that has nothing to do with it. It's just the fact that everything has to be politicized. And now, like you said, the rules have not been changed since we didn't have a vaccine, since we didn't have protocols in place. And as somebody who just now, my 10th day was yesterday, like, yeah, it sucked for a couple of days, but I'm fine. I'm good to go. Like I it was a minor flu. I could play football tomorrow if I needed to. I would stink at it, but I could do it. It just sucks to see because like you said, no, the bowl games technically don't matter, but like they do matter for, you know, the seniors that are playing or, and like, you know, we heard a lot of excitement around not just the game itself in Tucson, but like all the different events that we were going to get to do that we might not get to do now. So it's like, the fuck are we doing here? It's 2022.
All right. Now we could go on this vein for 45 minutes, an hour, but it's nothing people haven't heard. People are tired of COVID. People are sad that this happened to the Barstool Bowl. They're sad it's happened to other bowls. They're terrified it might happen to playoff. We could continue talking like this and being sad little bitches, but how about we not do that? Okay. What if we talk about this playoff like it's going to happen? What if we do our end of year awards like we did just have a great season? What if we do enjoy this podcast in the face of this bullshit?
I do like that. I like that idea. I do have one quick question before we move on, though. Yeah. Do you think people are making too much of a big deal that media wasn't allowed at Alabama's practice today?
Oh, buddy. we'll get to that in a minute. Yes.
Okay. I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, these two things don't feel like they're the same.
Well, I'll just get into it. Let me tell you something. The disconnect between college football media and fans is never more present than when the media gets shut out of a 15-minute viewing period of practice. Us fans, we say, I don't give a fuck. Who gives a shit? It doesn't matter. But these sports writers believe that 15-minute window is the lifeblood of college football. There was today, so Alabama canceled their practice, and I think everybody but Cincinnati canceled their media viewing of practice, right? Mm-hmm. And Cincinnati only didn't because they were already practicing. Aaron Suttles, who's a sports writer, covers Alabama for the Athletic. He tweets out this sad, boy, I understand why they did it, but it's just so shitty the NCAA didn't let us know beforehand. That 15 minutes of practice could have meant, and he just goes on and on about him having to travel to Dallas and him doing this. And then sports writers complaining is my favorite pocket of Twitter. And I don't feel like we get it enough anymore. I love when a sports writer complains, a guy who's paid to go to games and thinks he's solving some sort of war against cancer is just the best to me.
It's just, I mean, you've been to those 15-minute viewings. I've been to those 15
minutes. They don't show you anything anyway.
You don't see shit. They purposely don't let you see shit, so you can't then go write an article about what you saw. They run out the most vanilla bullshit, like high-stepping drills. They don't even
stretching. Actually. You get to watch them stretch.
You watch them stretch. You watch them do, like, all the different, like the stretching where you, what's it? Like, you know, in track, whenever everybody's in a line and they just, like, jump. Like, that's the way, that's what you're seeing. You're not seeing anything else. At the very most, you might see a player that's not dressed out. At the very most. And even so, they usually keep them away until you're gone. That's the way this has been forever. When I was working for the team in school, when I was working for A&M right after school, that's what you do. And then you go and you have to pretend like you've got some grand piece of information with a bunch of photos of literally quite nothing happening. And Alabama did it. So we must be fucked, folks. I was like, Eve, if we are, maybe. But this, the 15-minute media period is not what's telling us the playoff is not happening.
All right. So let's operate on the assumption that Alabama will play Cincinnati this Friday.
Okay.
Let's operate on the assumption Georgia will play Michigan this Friday.
Okay.
All right. Jack, are you okay with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm under the assumption. If there's any silver lining to the Barstool Bowl potentially not happening, is that you won't have a distraction of during the college football playoff game. Not that it was a distraction. We want the Barstool Bowl to happen, but now it will only be Bama against Cincinnati at 3:30 p.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, that's one good thing. We'll get to do that. And listen, who knows? Maybe there's an 11th hour miracle and we do have a Barstool Bowl. Maybe we have – maybe Texas Tech pulls out of the Liberty Bowl. Mississippi State goes out to and I get to ride in on a Bulldog. Who knows? Any of this is possible. Any of this is possible.
I just don't understand how there are. I guess it's because Jack's right. Like, there are teams that have just gone home. But I feel like there are plenty of teams that would be like, yo, we'll do it. We don't care if we get our asses kicked. Like, just send us out there, man.
Yeah, well, the reasoning he talked about is right. Like, take Nebraska, for example. They're 3-9, and we were all tweeting, let Nebraska play, but Nebraska thought their season was over, so everybody went home. And when everybody goes home, everybody gets COVID. And when everybody gets COVID, they can't play football. So it's also, like, it's a circle.
There's so many logistics to a football team going to a game. Yeah. Like, it's insane.
You got to charter a plane. You got
hotels, equipment, the entire equipment team. Where are they? And they're around the kids. So if they have COVID, it's like, it's really unfortunate, and there's the games in 4 days, and it's like, how do you even, it's just like football, the stuff that goes into every single game of a football game is insane. Like, it's not like, oh, basketball.
Like, whose wife's house is Scott Frost at? You know, you never know. Yeah. You never exactly. know where these people are.
What a shot.
Exactly.
Although if there was anybody prepared, you know, it's Scott Frost. That man was still practicing and like, July and August of 2020. He refused to believe that COVID would shut the Big Ten down.
All right. So we're going to get to our awards in a minute. Our game of the year, our moment of the year, our video of the year, our play of the year, and our upset of the year. Okay. We'll get to that. But we have a playoff this week.
Mm-hmm.
And let's take the first game first. Alabama against Cincy. My head and my heart are once again at war.
Really?
Yeah, my this happens a lot. But my heart says Cincy matches up not terribly. My heart says Cincy matches up pretty good. My heart says Cincy is going to go in there with the strength of the non-Power 5 on their back, and they're going to put up a fight, and they're going to stay within this 14 points, and they're going to lose, you know, by 10, by 7, and they're going to make a respectable showing. My head says, despite the limitations of Alabama's roster, losing John Metchie, despite – them having a season where they didn't look dominant at all times, my head says you give Nick Saban a month to prepare for anybody, it's going to be an ass whipping. My head also says I think Georgia Michigan's going to be close, and I don't believe we've had a year where we've had two close semifinal games. I'm almost certain we have not had that. We always have at least one blowout, maybe usually two blowouts. So the potential, I don't think there's much potential for a blowout in the other one. So if you're going by that, by averages, Alabama blowing Cincinnati out here, to my head, seems pretty pretty right.
Yeah, I understand your heart and your head going against you on this one, but I do feel like as somebody who knows college football as well as you do and has grown up your entire life loving it, that your heart also knows deep down that no matter how bad you want that person to be good, you know they're not going to be when it comes to Alabama. Like, that's the thing with Cincinnati. I'm not taking anything away from them. They deserve to be in that number four spot. There's no question. We talked about it all year. This was going to be the group of five. Cincinnati does not and will not match up with Alabama, no matter how much time they had. I mean, I'm not going to say it's going to be 100-0, but I mean, it's Nick Saban. They just kicked the shit out of Georgia, and now we're talking about Cincinnati potentially being involved in this. I don't.
Let's dive into that matchup a little bit, just to tell you why I think they're built pretty exceptionally to take on Alabama. Alabama didn't go to Atlanta with a roster of offensive skill players that just blows you away. What they took was one elite quarterback and two elite receivers and wore Georgia's ass out with it. Just, they didn't have a running game. They didn't have, like, Brian Robinson was hurt. Everybody was hurt. They didn't have a running game. They took two elite receivers and wore Georgia's ass out. Well, now they got one quarterback who's still elite, Heisman Trophy winner, and one elite receiver, Jameson Williams. John Metchie's out. Cincinnati has two elite cornerbacks, not good cornerbacks, elite cornerbacks. Kobe, what's Kobe's last name? Kobe, and then Sauce Gardner. Two elite cornerbacks. Like, they're built to slow down a passing game. And they have a quarterback who's been through the wars, isn't scared of anything. So if you took away the fact that it's Alabama, took away the fact that it's Cincinnati, their strengths and Alabama's strengths are as optimum as they can be for Cincinnati in this game. However, you can't take away the fact that it's Cincinnati, and you can't take away the fact that it's Alabama and it's Nick Saban, and that it's Alabama. Inevitable.
It's Alabama. And I mean, and listen, like, we, you know, obviously years past don't necessarily matter. We know that. But, you know, Cincinnati's big win was Notre Dame this year. We've seen how Notre Dame has played in the playoff. We know that Notre Dame is a good football team. I'm not trying to take that away from them either. But it's not like they've rolled in and made themselves look really great in the playoff. And so it's like, all right, congratulations, Cincinnati. You beat a Power 5 team. Good. I mean, Notre Dame was a great team at the end of the year. They were right at the edge of the playoff. But it doesn't give me – just because they match up well on paper, the talent doesn't match up well. Otherwise, those players at Cincinnati would be playing at Alabama. Those players at Cincinnati would be playing at Ohio State. And I understand – that, you know, Cincinnati's a good team, but the reason those players are out of G5 team and not out of Power 5 team is because they probably weren't good enough to get a starting spot on a team like Alabama, who they're about to have to play.
Well, I'm just going through the semifinals, right? So in year one, you had a 7-point game, which was Ohio State and Alabama, but then you had a 39-point blowout. In year two, you had two blowouts, 20 points and 38 points. In year three, you had 17-point, 28-point. In year four, you had an 18-point game, then an overtime game. 2019, you had an 11-point game and a 27-point game. 2019, you had LSU beating Oklahoma to sleep, 63-28, and you had Clemson barely beating Ohio State. So at best we've ever had is one decent game.
Right.
We've never had two decent games. And again, if you realize that Georgia-Michigan looks as evenly matched up as you can, statistics tell you there's going to be a blowout, and one of them's Alabama, one of them's Cincinnati, and that sucks. But I mean, that all the math is pointing that direction.
Yeah, and I mean, and like you said, a quarterback that doesn't look like he's scared of shit. You've got players that are definitely, definitely very talented. You've got a coach that everybody loves. It's still Alabama. It's still a team that has been there, has won it a gazillion times.
Well, no, wait. Not just it's still Alabama, because let's give them some credit. They do it. They also have Bryce Young. Like, they have a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. Like, it's not just that it's Alabama. They also got great players too. So let me – I'm the one that said that. So let me just correct that.
No. But I mean, I think that encapsulates all of it. Like, when you said that, I took it as like it's not just the fact that they are the Alabama Crimson Tide. It's everything that Alabama is having the best coach of all time in college, having a Heisman Trophy winner. Now, you're right, Metchie being out is a big thing. It's just like you said, statistically, the reason the 4-team playoff has been made fun of from people outside of the people that love college football is because of everything that you just named. And I would love to see that game be close, just because especially if the Arizona Bowl is not happening. I mean, I don't have shit else to do that day. My team is staying home because they're sick with COVID. So I would love to see that. But the game of the day is absolutely Georgia-Michigan.
All right. But, go ahead, Jeff.
I do think, like, Cincinnati has a really good defense, right? We'll start there. Now, how good is the defense compared to, like, you know, they played an AAC schedule, but that is an offensive conference with some, you know, they played SMU. That was an explosive offense. They have a great pass defense and a great rush defense. So you can stay in the game in terms of keeping Bryce Young. I think the biggest thing is, will they be able to get to Bryce Young? Because we saw Bryce Young, I think, where Georgia didn't get to Bryce Young. They didn't send any blitz. And I don't know, I'm trying to find it right now, but I don't think they, Cincinnati's like pass rush is that good.
No, I don't think it is either. And I want to give you one more credence on your – I mean, they shut down Notre Dame's offense. And if you look at the numbers, Notre Dame, who was still looking for a quarterback at that point, Notre Dame's offense is pretty good this year. Notre Dame averaged 35 points a game. Like, they were not a bad offense, and Cincinnati just treated them like ragdoll.
So if we're looking at how Cincinnati can beat Alabama, right, there has to probably be a turnover or two, whether that's a fumble or interception. Bryce Young hasn't really done that all year, but I mean, you have a good secondary, a fumble, and the fumble, then you have to recover it. If they do that, then Desmond Ridder has to have zero turnovers. An interception early in that game could be a backbreaker, like complete backbreaker. So I could see if they play perfectly, I think they're right there, especially with Mechie out. And then, the other, I think the defenders have Battle or something. He may be out too. Mechie being out's a big deal. I don't know. I think you're right. Like Casey said it perfectly. On paper, they match up well, but talent wise, Alabama obviously is better. Like the perfect example is the running back on Cincinnati that has I'm blanking on his name, but he came from Alabama.
Ford.
Like Jerome Ford. He would be on Alabama if he was that good, but. You know, I think they have a chance. Like I keep thinking that, and I think that Cincinnati, and they're kind of built in a way where if they play, they have to play the perfect game though. And obviously that's kind of just saying what's obvious, but they have to play a perfect game.
I think, and it's Brandon, where you say like your heart and your head are telling you different things. I think it's because your heart wants it to be close. I don't think your heart actually believes it's going to be close.
No, because my heart still believes I was kind of right on my take, because what we do fall in the trap of is looking at Alabama's last game and thinking, okay, well, that's Alabama. That's the dominant Alabama. That's the one we're used to. That's the one that's going to show up. They did have 12 games before that where that version didn't show up a lot. That version only showed up in Georgia. It didn't show up against Auburn, didn't show up against LSU, didn't show – like, we have evidence that there's another version of Alabama in there. That being said, when has Nick Saban ever showed up to a championship game without the best version of his team?
After a month of preparing, after watching everybody in the country be like, boy, Georgia is probably going to rock the shit out of them. And then that happens. And I mean, yes, like I know I only have a few more podcasts where I can even bring this up. So let me have it. I mean, the fact that Alabama lost to A&M this year is still wild to me. A&M ends up losing four games. But at the same time, like all that matters is at the end of the season. And what we saw was them just absolutely dismantle a team that was, until Michigan beat Ohio State, the undisputed number one team in the country. And now Nick Saban's had an entire month to get ready for a G5 team. Like that's just, and I know Cincinnati fans that are listening to this. I think the rational ones are probably like, yeah, you're right. There are going to be some that are just mad. Like you're not giving us any credit. I would love to see that game close. Even if it's close just through the first half because of the matchups that you mentioned. It's just Alabama. It's just everything that goes with that.
All right, so go around the board. Does anybody want to go ahead and say Cincinnati is going to beat Alabama, or we all believe Alabama is going to win this football game?
I need to reevaluate, but I initially did put Cincinnati plus 14 on my card. It's more like worth a sprinkle in my mind. Like everything has been said. Like who besides maybe Auburn fans thought that Alabama and Auburn game was going to be even remotely close? We all looked on paper the day before, like, this is going to be a disgusting blowout. Like, what does Auburn have to do? And also, like, we've kept on being like, Cincinnati's not going to win out. Cincinnati's not going to do this, not going to do this. And they keep on doing it. But it's, like, the same point. It's still Alabama. But then, like, it's not the same Alabama we're used to. So it's, like, I sprinkle amount think Cincinnati for covering. But I don't – I just don't know.
No, no chance anybody's taking him to win, though, right?
Not on this podcast. I think there will be somebody out.
The four of us.
Oh yeah.
If I hadn't been so spectacularly wrong on Alabama and Georgia, I might dip my toe in this water, but I'm not going to. I'm not gonna let the same cat bite me twice.
That's big of you. I agree. I mean, plus 14 is a lot, but it's still all those scores you just named. I mean, that everything's leaning towards that 3:30 game being an absolute just massacre.
I'll be honest. I think it's going to be a lot. Like, I think this spread should be more like 10 to 8 or 8 to 10.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, but like, obviously the massacre is on, like, that's in the cards. I would say that's a high possibility for sure.
But and, I think if you could possibly just look at these teams without considering who they are, if you just said Team A and Team B, you would think Team B is going to stay within 14 points of Team A.
Yes. And like, it's just, Alabama's pass defense all year hasn't really been great. It looked good against Georgia, but I think Desmond Ridder can come into this game and play. He has to have the best game of his life. Because Alabama's rush defense is pretty good and they're going to, and that's what, like, but also, I mean, I'm looking at some stats now, like Alabama does give up, like they ranked 115th in passing plays EPA. Obviously that's not adjusted, but like, they give up explosive plays here and there, especially in the passing game and even in the running game. So they just, I think it's a real possibility that Cincinnati wins this game. Higher than what we're seeing.
I want to agree, but it's Alabama. So I'm not letting the same dog bite me twice. It was a cat earlier. Now it's a dog. Deal with it. Okay. The game we all think, if history says the one will be close, one will be a blowout, it's natural to think the first one would be a blowout and the second one would be close. Michigan, I think, closed the season playing as well as anybody in the country. Their last three games, they might have been the best team in the country. Then they took a break. Is that going to affect them? Georgia, we thought, was the very best team in the country. Then they laid a colossal egg in the championship game. So they're a wounded animal coming into this thing. I think they match up very well. To me, just gut feeling, I don't know what the total is, but I feel like we're about to see a remake of Clemson, Georgia to open the season where neither offense is going to be able to score. I think Georgia's defense will be pissed off and a lot better than they were in Alabama. And I think this is going to be a low, this could be a 10 to 6 final. This could be a 13 to 10 final. I think this is going to be, and is it still Georgia by 7 or 8? I don't think there's 7 or 8 points difference in these teams at all. No. I think this is going to be a fourth quarter game that is going to be low scoring and grab your fucking seat the whole night.
I think that you're absolutely right about it being a defensive battle. We've talked about how good Michigan and Georgia's defense has been all year. At the time, we did not know that Clemson, even though quietly they still won a bunch of games, they just were not Clemson. So the beginning of the year was like, oh boy, Georgia's really got it. I don't know why the spread is this way. You're right. I don't see what we're seeing here, because what you're looking at, Ohio State, who, yes, lost to Oregon early in the season in week two, but then you're also looking at Michigan, who just ran the table after Michigan State. They never looked back after they lost. Meanwhile, Alabama lost to A&M. And so it's like, when you're looking at all these spreads, it's like, what are you saying that Georgia is so much better than Michigan after losing the way that they did to Alabama? That makes no sense. Now, obviously, I'm not a Vegas odds maker, so that's above my pay grade.
Well, it was kind of buried in what you just said there. Like, Michigan lost and then took off.
Yeah.
Losing doesn't necessarily mean you're going to stay where you were when you lost. You could get up off after that loss and be fine.
Right, but didn't you say Georgia was favored by 7?
Yeah, I did. I'm just playing both sides of this. I'm laying out both sides of this. To me, I think the defenses are both so good that it's going to be low scoring. Like, I don't know, and I know we've had COVID rumors and everything. Who's going to play quarterback for Georgia? Is it just going to be Stetson Bennett?
After all of this, it's just Stetson Bennett. Like, we could have just erased the last like 3 weeks of news. It's just always going to be Stetson Bennett.
I don't know. Like, if Georgia loses this game, I don't know how you have confidence in Kirby Smart to ever be the guy. Like, if Georgia loses this game and Michigan goes on and plays the national championship, if Michigan loses this game, Harbaugh and Michigan are still kind of back. What, Jack?
No, you. I respectfully disagree on the Kirby.
Respectfully. The
Kirby. Because you're talking about Harbaugh, and the whole point about Harbaugh was like we gave him some time. Yeah. Kirby's still getting guys in here all the time. Like the next team's going to be just as talented as this team. Like, and then after that, and then after.
My disagreement with that is, it took Harbaugh some time to get here, right? Well, Kirby keeps getting here. He keeps getting here. He keeps getting the ball to within 5 feet of the hole, and he can't make the fucking putt. How long are you going to let him go? Do you realize he can't putt?
I mean, I would say he can putt. I mean, he's won SEC championships. He's gotten to the national championship.
But he didn't beat Alabama to win that SEC championship.
Yeah, he didn't beat Nick Saban. And
that's the difference. He can't make putts against Nick Saban. So,
but he may. I would say, I know what you're saying. Like, maybe the take, like, I wouldn't give up on Kirby.
I don't think you're in a position where you can give up on Kirby. He recruits too well. But if you're a Georgia fan and you invested so much in the season and in your heart, it was right there. And then he gets to the dance again and he can't seal the deal. Like, at some point you're even not your outer confidence, but your inner confidence as a fan is going to erode. You're going to believe everything you see good that happens to your program isn't going to matter, because when you get to where it matters, he's going to fall apart.
Well, I mean, it's not the exact same analogy, because they're two completely different teams in two different conferences, but it's the same argument that Oklahoma fans have been having for the last few years. It's like, oh, great, Oklahoma does really, really well in the Big 12 and runs the table and then goes and gets their dicks kicked in the playoff. Like, oh, great, you made it to the playoff, but you're embarrassing yourself on a higher level. The thing, if I'm a Georgia fan right now, I'm just happy that the playoff committee, whether anybody wants to say it out loud or not, I am going to. The playoff committee did not want Alabama and Georgia to play in the semis. They wanted to give them that extra break. You should be happy you're playing Jim Harbaugh in the first game, not Nick Saban, because Kirby Smart just cannot beat Nick Saban. Maybe he will one day. I don't know. But let's say they somehow beat Michigan. I don't think they will. I think Michigan wins. But, like, would anybody sit here and be like, you know what? I think Kirby's going to do it in the national championship.
He could.
He could, but he hasn't yet.
The thing with Kirby is he's just that fighter that keeps getting the championship round and keeps getting knocked out. But, boy, when he ever wins that fight, he might be the champion for a while. Like, if he ever gets over the hump and he ever beats Saban, the wall could come crashing down and Georgia could just sit on top of this thing for a while. Beating Michigan, though, is the – we'll have plenty of time to argue Michigan against Alabama or Georgia against Alabama or Cincinnati. I think Georgia wins this football game. I think it's the bounce back. I think the month off probably hurt Michigan. They were just rolling at such a high level. What?
Out of curiosity, why? Just like, is it just because they were playing at such, like, just
– To me, they were peaking. And when you peak as a football team, that is so special and rare. And having to take a month off at your peak, I just don't see how you come back with the exact same ferocity you had before. And that's just me thinking of a reason Georgia might win this game. Again,
to add to your point, though, I mean, it wasn't just peaking. It was beating their rival that Jim Harbaugh never beat. So it wasn't like it was just some game, you know, that meant nothing. I understand that they won the Big Ten title. I'm talking about beating Ohio State. And the way that they beat Ohio State, and, like, after, you know, Jim Harbaugh saying, like, oh, I'll die if we lose to them. Like, you're right. They were peaking. It's just, like, they were playing such good football. I have a hard time believing they're going to, like, regress really far backwards.
But I don't think they have to regress far backwards to lose this game. Like, Georgia's a lot better than they showed in Atlanta. Michigan's a lot better than I thought they would be this year. That's why I think this is going to be a 13-10 ball game. I think this is going to be decided by the defenses. I think Georgia's defense is a little bit better than Michigan's defense.
And the same goes for their offense, too.
I think I would take Michigan's defense over Georgia's, but Georgia's offense over Michigan's offense.
Why would you take Michigan's defense over Georgia's defense?
I think they have the best defensive player in the country.
Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah, he's great. He's very good.
And it's not just him, too. I mean, you know, you've got the bookends, too. But I think that Aiden Hutchinson – and the way that he was able to disrupt CJ Stroud. And I know that, you know, now we look back and that Ohio State's offense did have a lot of holes, but I mean, at one point in the season, you know, somewhere in October, we were like, they probably have like three or four Heisman Trophy winners on their offense alone. And Aiden Hutchinson just absolutely blew them up from start to finish. So I mean, I'm not saying it's leaps and bounds better, because it's obviously Georgia's defense, But I do, if I had to pick, I would take Michigan's defense, Georgia's offense, assuming we know who's playing quarterback for Georgia. I don't
That's
think
crazy. I would pick, I swear to God, I'd pick Georgia's defense and Michigan's offense.
Because you know that Cade McNamara is going to play, or because you just
I think the quarterback's a little better. I think the running backs are a little better. Like, Georgia's got good running backs, but Michigan, boy, Haskins and Corum are next level. Georgia's probably got a little bit. Neither one of them have great receivers. They both got really good tight ends. Michigan's offensive line, the last time we saw them, was destroying Ohio State. They're probably a little better than Georgia. Like, I would pick Michigan's offense and Georgia's defense. It's razor thin. It's razor thin. I think these teams are very evenly matched.
It's razor thin, and you know, and we both just done it and then like walked it back, is that we keep talking about the last time we've seen Michigan. We just keep forgetting that they played the Big Ten championship because it was just such a bad game that no one cared.
I'll say this about Hutchinson and Georgia. Georgia held Will Anderson, who is every bit the equal of Aiden Hutchinson, held Will Anderson to his worst game in months. He had 3 solo tackles and 1 sack. And, you know, you're talking about a guy that was averaging 2 sacks a game, 3 sacks a game over the last 6 games. So they managed to handle him. So that bodes well against Hutchinson. All right. Whatever. So go around the room. I think Georgia plays Alabama for the national title. Casey, you think Alabama plays Michigan for the national title?
Yes, sir.
Jack.
Yeah, Alabama-Georgia rematch, which is like will be a meme in itself. But, yeah, I think – and, yeah.
Katie. Don't be so disappointed, Katie. You knew we were coming to your victory.
I really do want to say Alabama-Georgia, but I just lost faith in Georgia, kind of. And so I'm going to have to go Alabama-Michigan.
So the boys are Alabama-Georgia, the girls are Alabama-Michigan.
I must say, Jack, I know you have good reason, but as somebody that rode or die, right? I know it's ride or die, but whatever it was, all year with Michigan with me, the fact that you're jumping ship at the last minute is kind of sad.
Yeah, Georgia's just too good.
Went to war with me all year against Brandon. You were
sick. I know. I mean, nothing would be like more like if I could substitute Georgia for Michigan State just to see that game again, I would do it just for like this podcast. But I'm going with Georgia. But if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I mean, Michigan in the national championship would be a great refund for the Arizona Bowl.
Casey.
Oh no.
I just want to hear your reaction to this. The CDC just right now. What are you still on your COVID quarantine? This is day 10 for you?
No, day 10 was yesterday.
Day 10 was yesterday. So you just got finished with your COVID quarantine. The CDC just announced today they're cutting the isolation restrictions for Americans who catch coronavirus from 10 days to 5 days. So
you could have gone home for Christmas, eh?
You could have gone home for Christmas.
These motherfuckers, like, why today? Why? We couldn't wait until January 1st and be like, hey, the new rules are in 2022. You had to do it. What's the date today? The 26th? 27th?
7th, yeah.
Are you fucking kidding me? I was at a bar on Christmas Eve in New York with other people that were stuck. Wait, no, not Christmas Eve. That wasn't my day.
I was about to say, I was like, I'm going to have to cut that out because you just told on yourself.
Yeah. No. I thought today was the 26th. The 25th was the end of my quarantine. So the 25th, the fact that it's the 27th is wild to me. I think the 26th just didn't exist. Okay. All right. Here's a question.
Yeah.
Hypothetical. Could A&M play in the Arizona Bowl now?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm just saying. And by the way, we haven't talked about it yet. I need these fucking island boys to disappear. I don't want them to die. I don't wish anybody to die. But you saw what happened with
the island boys do.
Oh, Brandon, you can see it.
Yeah, the timing behind that was insane.
It was the worst thing I'd ever seen in my entire life. And I'm not kidding, within 10 minutes, the Gator Bowl got canceled. Katie, are you pulling it up? Have you not heard this, Brandon?
Oh, yeah, I've heard it.
You to hear it again.
I don't want to hear it again.
Well, I'm making you hear it again.
No, this thing stinks. It's so cringe.
Did they get paid to do that?
Yeah,
I think that was from a cameo. Because that's how they make all their money now. They just do cameos all day.
Well, who from A&M wanted that?
The magazine.
I mean, y'all are cult, so could have been anybody.
What does that have to do with anything?
There was this great Reddit thread that said, like, name something that is a cult. That, I mean, am I talking or not?
He's talking.
He's going to be a Heisman boy, number one at A&M. I keep...
Terrible. Sorry, Jack, continue. Just came up.
No, I'm going to do what you did now. Go on.
Going to be a Heisman boy.
A.M. And then they get pulled out of the Gator Bowl. But I'm saying the CDC just changed.
Do you think they know? Do you think the Island Boys know where Texas A&M is? Like what state it's in? Swear to God. If you ask them what state Texas A&M's in, what's the chance they know?
Slim.
I'd give them a decent chance. But if you ask them what state Baylor was in, no chance.
Oh, no chance. I'm saying regular person on the street, 99% chance. Island Boys, 90 to 85% chance. So, but they have a real chance of fucking that up.
5 days.
Let's do our awards. Let's do some happy stuff.
And then also we did put out a tweet, and so we can go through some of the Roughnecks ones too.
I used a lot of theirs for filling out the nominations and stuff, filling out what I was going to do here. So
okay, awesome.
How are we doing this? By the way, I just slammed a bottle of water really hard on my table and it did not have a top on it, so there's just water everywhere now.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm just gonna announce the category and then I'm gonna say some maybe nominees, or do y'all just want to say the category and then we go round and round the room?
I kind of like the idea of you giving your nominees and then us deciding on a winner.
Okay, well, I assume everybody brought their own winner, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we have Game of the Year, Moment of the Year, Video of the Year, Play of the Year, Upset of the Year. Okay? We'll do Game of the Year first. Game of the Year, I looked at the Roughnecks tweets and I used my own information. I have these nominees, and if you've got one outside of these, please, we'll award them. But I think the Red River Rivalry, Oklahoma 55, Texas 48 is one that kept coming up. Ole Miss 52, Arkansas 51. The Iron Bowl, Alabama and Auburn. Notre Dame 38, Florida State 35. Michigan State 37, Michigan 33. And Bedlam. Those are the six nominees. If you've got one that isn't on that list, when your turn comes up, you give your award winner. I will give my award winner right now. My award winner for the Game of the Year was Oklahoma 55, Texas 48. Now, turns out neither of these teams were very good, but that didn't matter much that day because that shit was wild. Texas, we still thought there was juice in the Texas wagon. We still thought Texas was something. They get out to the big lead. There were these huge plays, long plays down the field. They had like a 75-yard play on the second play of the game. And then Oklahoma's down 28-10. They're down 20. And they ended up coming back 55-48. That was crazy. To me, that was the football game of the season. Casey, you go next.
I would have to agree that I think that, and I'm going to say shootout, and I know it's problematic, but I don't give a shit. The Red River shootout, also, we were all, what?
I mean, go ahead.
Am I not allowed to say that?
You can say whatever you want. Is that your game of the year?
Well, okay. I'm trying to do this whole non-biased thing.
No, why?
This is your chance. This is your chance.
The best game of the year was A&M Alabama, obviously. Okay. And it's just every time I come up with like just an opportunity to be able to say something good about A&M, I just get shellacked. Like, oh, this isn't an A&M podcast. Obviously, the best game of the year for me was A&M Alabama. I went through this last time we were on the podcast. We'd already gotten home from being on the road. I was on the couch watching it. It was incredibly exciting. Spoiler alert, also my video of the year. But if I'm going to take a non-A&M game, I do think that the Red River shootout was, because we were all watching it together at Teterboro. And you could walk away to go make a coffee or go to the bathroom and come back and you would have absolutely no idea what was happening. And then you know, honorable mention, I think Bedlam. I thought Bedlam was going to be a defensive struggle and it wasn't. But I mean, yeah, if anybody out there has even a remote problem with me saying that A&M upsetting number one Alabama is my favorite game of the year, you can suck my dick.
Jack, what was your game of the year?
Most certainly it was not the Iron Bowl. That game sucked.
That game did suck, but it did come up in a lot of nominations.
Okay, I know. It had a great ending. The UCLA-Fresno State game was amazing. Those are, like, two pretty good teams.
Yeah.
But I would say Texas A&M-Alabama was my game of the year.
Let's go, Jack.
All right, Katie Stats.
I agree with that. And I think, Brandon, you missed Michigan-Ohio State as one.
That was a great game.
That wasn't a good game, yeah.
It was exciting.
It was a great win for Michigan.
I found it fun to watch, and I was excited.
Katie, you stay in your ground. Brandon, just because he's mad, I took a money line. I thought it was one of the best games of the year, too.
It was a great game. They kicked their ass.
Yeah.
Great game. I won a lot of money off of it responsibly.
But that
18.
A great game does not have to be defined by necessarily being close or whatnot. We never defined this stuff. I'm going to have my point. And also, if you had not interrupted me, I would have said.
Interrupted. Remember, I'm going to play the island.
Okay, you can interrupt me. Okay, cool, Jack. It's great. It's great to see that. I was actually going to say that the Florida State-Notre Dame game, because that's when the first game of the year goes up between the two, and I'd pick the Florida State game between, but the Michigan-Ohio State was right there. So,
yeah.
All right, next year we're going to add favorite blowout of the year. And we'll add Michigan, Ohio State.
Well, there's a plenty of UConn games we can list on that one.
Ooh, hell yeah, Katie. Hell yeah. Let him know.
I mean, none of them.
Relax for a second. Good. Okay. And Katie, you're my girl. But yeah, a game kind of does have to be close to be on the list.
Mm-hmm. Wait. Also, there's so much hype. Like for me, it's also not just a game. Like there's so much hype and build up. It's like it's called the game TM. Like, yeah, maybe it wasn't the game itself. Like, you'd see it's coming. But I think with all the historic, the biggest rivalry in college football, like, I think that was just the most exciting. Also, it's not the winner. Florida State Notre Dame was my winner.
Also, Katie, don't forget that Brandon just, you know, that was one of his Brandon Walker moments of the year where he was just dead wrong. So don't let him talk you out of it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we should have a Brandon Walker was wrong award, too.
You think I care about Brandon Walker being wrong, huh?
What's the next one?
The next one is the moment of the year.
I'm excited about this one.
And I'm not going to do nominations. I think the better one is just to go across the board. And since I went first last time, I'll go to the back of the line. Casey, you go first this time.
I'm the back of the line, huh? The first time we saw a jump around in 2021, mm-hmm. That was so fucking cool. Like when, you know, the whole, just everybody watching college football, just watching that happen. You know, obviously it wasn't the season Wisconsin hoped for, but that just the overall aerial shot of everybody jumping around, it was awesome. Camp Randall looked like the most fun place on the planet.
That means Jack is next.
I'm forgetting his name, but Kansas beating Texas on that 2-point play was my moment of the year. The walk-on linebacker who decided to play fullback. Did I say that?
I think it's Jared Casey.
Jared Casey.
There we go. Jared Casey.
That's Brandon's.
No, he didn't take my moment. He took my play of the year.
Oh, fuck. Moment play. Okay, you know what?
He used the play for his moment.
He took a play. He took my upset of the year, so.
You're right. I may have just – you're right. You know what?
I'm going to take another play. I have another play, so keep that as your moment.
Okay. All right. My moment, Kansas beating Texas, because that is a moment. It's a meme.
All right. Okay. And Katie.
And to back Jack up with this one, I had two moments written down, and that was one of them. My second moment is Mackenzie Milton coming back.
Yeah.
I like that one.
Awesome. I, too, had two moments written down, and one of them was Mackenzie Milton coming back. Remember how much hope we had that night? We thought, okay, well, this is – didn't end up that way, but that night was very, very special. That's a good moment. My moment's not really a moment, but it doesn't fit in any other category because it wasn't really a viral video. It wasn't a play. It wasn't. But remember that moment in the middle of the season where Pole Assassin just took over our lives? Pole Assassin was a moment in time, man. Pole Assassin was it for like a week. And there's no way to honor this other than just saying Pole Assassin was the moment of the year.
Jeff Banks, I mean, he really just took over Halloween week with the Pole Assassin. And I mean, we didn't talk about anything, I don't think, for literally like 6 or 7 days in a row.
I think we had a legitimate Pole Assassin show, and it was one of our better shows.
It, I mean, it's the Pole Assassin.
All right, so we'll move the order up. Viral video of the year. I think this one should be a category that gets swept pretty much, but we will allow Jack to go first. Jack, go first.
It's not just one, it's all of them. The Tennessee fans throwing everything on the field. Yeah. And then,
No, mine's going to be yours. I had three written down, but go ahead, Jack. Explain this one, because this I did have this one written down. The Tennessee.
I think I left those that one for Casey and then for you too. I know it's like, I mean, yeah. It's Casey's, and then also it was your favorite. But I thought like all of those, like from Lane Kiffin, like catching the ball, not catching it, but like picking right. it out of like on the ground to the end of him walking off. That could have honestly probably should have been my moment of the year, because like that was more of a moment. Because, yeah. I mean, that's Lane Kiffin coming back, the whole thing. But, yeah, the entire end of the Ole Miss-Tennessee game. And then we also forget that Joe Milton just ran out of bounds.
Yeah, he did. They did all that coming back, and he just ran out of bounds.
Yeah. He just was like, nope, whatever.
Katie, video of the year.
I'll save your guys's. And then I'll just – there's going to be two. It was early in the year with the FSU game when Brian Kelly said, I'm in favor of execution. Maybe our entire team needs to be executed. The entire team that had a field day. And then the second one was Drinkwitz trolling back Dan Mullen with the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah. Ooh,
yeah, yeah. So, I forgot about that one.
So me and Casey can share this last one, but there's one that hasn't been mentioned and technically happened after the season, but maybe the most memorable viral video other than the one we're about to talk about is – Brian Kelly's on the court at Notre Dame or at LSU talking about his family. The deep Southern roots of Brian Kelly just coming out in one video. Absolutely an all-timer.
And also add on his little like weird music video type thing that he did as well. Like he did the pep rally thing. And then the next thing you knew, he was in one of those like vortex, right. like weird rap video things.
We might have to consider next year a category called Brian Kelly Moment of the Year.
I think we should.
Because, I mean, let's see, there's that one year that he won by killing somebody. And then there's this year he had like five or six things.
Got the Southern accent as fast as he possibly could.
But the viral video of the year, and I watched it today. Doing research for this, I watched it like three times. That lady and Seth Small's wife and her family or his family, all the families – on the front row when he's kicking the game-winning field goal against Alabama, and she's just saying, come on, let's go, babe. Come on, babe, 47. Yeah. And just going through all the emotions, and then you hear her stop, and you hear the ball go through, and everybody goes crazy. She cries for a second, looks up, and then just runs on the – that's one of the best videos I've ever seen in college football. That's both of ours, right, Casey?
Oh, yeah, easily, and I've got chills. And it's not even just because it is A&M. Obviously, that helps. But just the pure emotion in her face, like watching it is like nobody else is around her in that moment. Like you're watching her. She doesn't give a shit. Her mom or his mom is sitting next to her dad or his dad, whoever it is. And it felt like it was going in slow motion because you're watching them. You're not seeing where they are on the field. And as soon as she realizes that it goes in and her head goes right down, she doesn't even think twice about celebrating with her family. She doesn't even think maybe I should high five my mom. Maybe I should hug my dad. She jumps, runs over to him, hugs him. Just an unbelievable moment. And it just so happened that she's also like a smoke show.
She's very, very attractive.
Absolutely stunning. So it's just like, not that it would have mattered either way, but it just did make it so much more viral because it's this gorgeous Southern blonde. You can hear her Southern accent, like, let's go 47. And then she just, I mean, and I know you've not been to Kyle Field, but like, those are not low, like, walls. Right. Like, that's not a short jump. Like that, she was jumping. And
she disappears for a second when she jumps down.
Yeah, she wasn't wearing sneakers either. I can guarantee you that. She had her cowgirl boots on or something. But an incredible moment. I watched it today as well. And then also, like, I do agree with Jack. I think that the mustard bottles and the golf balls were pretty fucking funny.
All right. And lastly, two more. Can we just go ahead and say, I don't know that anybody's going to disagree. The upset of the year was Kansas beating Texas, right? Yeah. Does anybody have anything different?
Game-wise, no. but I would say Deion pulling away the number one overall recruit.
I was A&M. I thought it was A&M over Bama. That was going to be the consensus one.
Oh, I just think it's so funny that Kansas beat Texas.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, A&M beating Alabama definitely, but Alabama is still the number one team in the country and they're still in the playoff. And like, at, you know, A&M started the season at number five. Kansas stinks. And Texas fans had no, when A&M fans, when if they would have lost Alabama, it would have been like a little bit embarrassing. Alabama fans were like, I can't believe we lost that game. Texas fans like tried to go into hiding. Like that's how bad that loss was.
To me, it isn't that Kansas stinks. It is the fact that Kansas is the emblem of stinking. They are the program that is looked about. They're the most embarrassing team to lose to. Now, this guy's going to change it. But right now, for the last 10 years, they're the most embarrassing team to lose to, and Texas just flat out lost to them, and that's hilarious.
It's hilarious. And then, yeah, and then I do think the Travis Hunter steal of the year from Deion.
Now, I think this category, we might have four different answers, because I have one that I...
This one's really hard.
This one is hard. I don't remember who's first. Katie, have you gone first yet?
No.
What's the play of the year?
It's more a player of the year or like moment, but I think this Kenneth Walker versus Michigan, like every single play he had, it just, that was the first, at least I know it's not a singular play, but that was the first time I was like, that guy's elite. Like no one else could do what he did. That play, like he single-handedly changed the game. So I feel that just more than just a single touchdown catch, which are nice, but that's just continually do the same thing. And just, so his play is just him versus Michigan, that whole game.
I like that.
Jack, I'll go counterclockwise. That isn't counterclockwise at all because y'all aren't even close. Jack, you go next.
I believe the score was 10-0 or 10-3 when Bryce Young threw the touchdown to Jameson Williams in the SEC championship game.
I think it was 10-0.
It was 10-0. I think that's when like the hierarchy of college football changed again. We thought that Bama's like back, they're number one again. So I remember that play. And then also like honorable mention, and it didn't really end up mattering, but that run by Caleb Williams, like if he scored there, it was almost, it's all like, what could have happened with like the whole landscape of college football? Like maybe Lincoln Riley doesn't leave. So who knows, but, I think he was already gone. But that play also, even though it didn't matter, it was a phenomenal play in and of itself.
All right. Casey, what was the play of the year?
I'm kind of going along the same line as Katie. It's not necessarily one single play, but it's a drive. It would be the Iron Bowl whenever Alabama was down at the end of the game. It looked like they were dead and buried. They absolutely had no business being in that game. And Bryce Young just had absolute ice in his veins all the way down. It was like watching a 2-minute drill in the NFL. Like that's what it felt like to me. There was just never any type of nerves. That would be my number one that came to mind. But then also, and this game didn't matter at all, and I cannot remember his name, the kicker for Iowa State, didn't he kick like a 65-yard field goal?
Texas Tech.
I looked it up earlier as one of mine. Yeah. Like 62 yards.
It was 62. I just remember being like, that went in, a 62-yard field goal. So it was Texas Tech beating Iowa State. That would be my honorable mention. But I do think that, and I said that on this podcast, that moment in the Iron Bowl for Bryce Young from the start of the drive to the touchdown, like that was his Heisman moment, especially because they did end up beating Georgia. But that to me was the moment where we knew he was the Heisman Trophy winner.
All right, so I'll be the only one who understands the assignment and sticks by the rules, only says one play, and it's an actual play.
I said one play.
Yeah, but you also took a play for your moment.
Okay. Okay, no, you got me.
To me, the player of the year, and it affected a lot because I don't know who would be in the playoff on Friday if this play didn't happen, but Oklahoma State on the last play of the game is about to score a touchdown and beat Baylor, and the guy has the angle, and 42 for Baylor runs like a bat out of hell, and they meet at the pylon. The guy ends up this short of making the playoff in one of the most heart-stopping endings I can remember. It was absolutely incredible, electric, and who knows, if he scores, since he ain't in this playoff, I don't think. I think Oklahoma State's getting ready to play Alabama. Like, that's how big that play was. And it was just, it was electric. It was fantastic. It was awesome. And Dave Aranda reacted to it like this.
He has no emotions. None.
Just didn't care at all. And one, that's my play of the year. One more that didn't get mentioned. I'm surprised it didn't get mentioned. Just wanted to mention it because it didn't get mentioned. Kenny Pickett's fake slide was.
Oh, yeah. That had more to do because a straight up rule was made off of it.
Yeah. Well, people are also mad that we celebrated that, Brandon. So keep those soft people in your thoughts right now as they're mad again that we're talking about it.
All right. Well, there you go. There's our year-end awards.
I just went over to my email to see if we got any updates. We have not.
No, but I think I'm pretty
I'm not sure. Even on that email list, so I have to wait and hear it through the grapevine.
I'm pretty sure we're not going, so we'll I got to be up at 3 a.m., so they better update me before, like, 9, because I'm going to bed. What are you doing, Jack?
I was just listening to something. It was funny.
Going to be a Heisman boy for A.M.
Was that for, like, Connor Wegman? Whatever his name is?
I don't even know who was because I couldn't understand what they were saying.
Serious?
Like, who's going to be the Heisman boy for
Max
A&M?
Johnson, maybe? Max Johnson going to be a Heisman boy?
No.
No, it was somebody else.
Maybe he's going to be a third string boy.
That means something.
What? What did he say?
I think they made up a name.
That's fine. Jack, how much is a cameo from those guys? Because I want to make them do more A&M stuff.
Oh, no, it's a lot. $250 to $500, I would assume.
It's this guy. Oh, I can't.
Demas? Demas?
Yeah.
He was terrible this year.
He's like a viral. He's like just like a viral guy. I mean, he's like a 4 or 5 star, but he's never winning a Heisman.
He's a 5 star receiver, but he didn't do anything. All right.
Island boys.
I swear to God, if you start getting these motherfuckers to do cameos for A&M all next year, I will kill you.
You'll kill.
Kill you.
Okay. $200 for personal use, business use, $600 for an Island Boy cameo.
Well, I'll lie to him. I'll personally use it for my business.
Well, it is your business.
I know, but I'll personally use it.
Oh, I see what you mean.
All right. Good stopping point. All right. We will find out. Maybe we'll have Barstool Sports Arizona Bowl. Probably not, but maybe we'll have a playoff. Hopefully that works out. We'll see. But I'm putting on a brave face. Casey isn't.
I'm putting on a brave face for the playoff because I think there's entirely too much money to be lost for them to cancel those games.
There's like TikToks of like Alabama players like dancing, but one player rips the other player's mask off. I'm like, guys, like optics right now are pretty important.
Yeah, and like, let's just maybe not.
Did we talk about the committee's decision for COVID postponement this last episode?
Dumbest shit I've ever in my entire – Brandon is having an absolute conniption fit. The dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. If that actually happens, like,
it makes me so mad. I don't want to talk about it until it happens.
Okay, fine.
That episode will just be screaming the entire hour.
Thanks for listening to the last episode, Kate. We said in the episode where would Alabama's fake national – if they won – let's say the other three teams pulled out and Alabama became the national champion, where would it rank among their fake national championships? Like among how real? And Brandon mentioned the one where they finished 20th in the AP and claimed the national championship.
Yeah.
So it would be much more legitimate than that one. So like it's another one for Alabama.
My team has one SEC championship. In my life, not in my life, in 1941, and Alabama claims a fucking national title. Yes, Casey.
I can't throw stones. A&M has won one national title in 1939, but if you drive past Kyle Field on a lovely day in College Station, Texas, you will see that there are three. So we have two fake ones on our stadium too. So I can't make fun of Alabama for it.
All right. So this is our last show of 2021.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Yeah.
No, we got one more.
Yeah,
no.
Thursday. Oh.
No, we don't. We just previewed the playoff.
That's what I thought, but I've been working to coordinate a recording at the Arizona Bowl, so.
Oh,
We'll figure it all out. Every ball is in the air at Barstool Sports right now, and we're waiting to find out where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. So until we know what – anyway, if we don't see you, Happy New Year. If we do – whatever, we'll tell you then.
Either way, we'll see him to recap the playoff anyway.
Yeah, in the new year.
Yeah, okay. But that'll be in the new year.
Okay.
Whatever. Who gives a shit? All right, that's unnecessary roughness.
Bye.